Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. I am Ann Ortley, and I'm broadcasting here on July 6th. Happy 4th of July, America. I'm from my bright red desk on a beautiful Sunday after a lovely, long, gorgeous, and delicious weekend. Had a great time. Yeah. And I am joined today by my friend Deb. We're going to try something I've never tried it before. No, not that one, the one in the kitchen next to the toaster oven. We're looking for the extra phone. Deb is here, Deb McBride, who is a wonderful astrologer in New York. We just had a delicious chicken dinner with rice and cauliflower. And I want to thank my listener who sent me the cauliflower recipe, Haley Duff's recipe from the internet. I got so excited last week when it arrived in Twitter and we made it. It was really good. And only it's a dip. It's not a pour over the cauliflower. That would be the phone. Okay, so we've never done this before, so we'll try and see how this works. So Deb's going to join me. Yep, book in.
Hello.
Hello, you're there. Go sit a little over by the footstool, I think, a little further away from me and see how it goes. We have a little echo. Okay, good. I think that works. So Deb is here. She's visiting from Brooklyn, far, far away, a continent far, far away. And what we're going to do is talk about the aspects in the sky and what's going on and how they're working and how you can use them yourself and see what you want to do this week. It'll be a dual show, a little excitement. And I'm hanging out with a Gemini Libra lady, you know, it's always good.
Aquarius,
yeah, but you got all that Gemini.
Yeah,
it's lots of Gemini. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the aspects and how they work. So what do you think about this week coming up? Or actually just talk about what you think about the whole cardinal cross. Because they hear me talk all the time, and they've not heard anybody else talk.
The cardinal cross was really intense and difficult, and I think that people really had to step up to their life in a brand new way. Mm-hmm. And there's been echoes of it ever since. Mm-hmm. Of course, yesterday we had the sun going through there at 13 degrees, so that brought back some stuff for people, and they were reminded of it. And I think it's been really intense and life-altering for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Major. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And also with the Mars going back and forth three times.
Yes.
In Libra, really pushing us to evolve and asking us to make important choices about our relationships.
Right.
So what did you see in your client base when you were talking to your clients?
What did I see? You know, I saw a lot of relationships and people really, a lot of people wanting to leave New York. A lot of people saying, we can't do it anymore. We're tired of it. We think that we want to have kids. It's too expensive here. We didn't like the winter at all. We're tired of this.
It was a hard winter.
Not like that hasn't happened before.
No, it hasn't before, but that was a hard one. Yes,
it was a hard one. And people wanting to leave. And, you know, I do a lot of astrocartography, so people were asking me where they should go. And a lot of people needing advice, like to take that leap and take the risk that the cardinal cross, you know, was encouraging us to do.
And when we didn't want to take it, I found that it kind of beat us around the head and shoulders and said, but you have to, you have to. It wasn't something you could pass on this time.
Yes, that's right.
It was really pushing. And now, the next week, we have the sun goes through the rest of the cardinal cross.
Right.
So we're going to have that drama. He was opposite Pluto, which is, of course, the closest one, but he's going to go opposite to Uranus and Jupiter. And so that kind of kicks up, or Uranus and Mars, rather, that kind of kicks up the energy as we go through it. So we're going to see that as kind of a focal point for the week. And he squares Uranus, and he trines Saturn, and he also trines Chiron. So when we see that, there's a lot of energy for us to really focus on our healing, our individual journey. And the Sun in Cancer trine Saturn, it happens once a year, but I like that aspect. I tend to find that that is when you really get that you're doing your work. And whatever your work is, the universe kind of comes in and gives you a little pat on the head. So I'm looking forward to that one and just kind of an understanding of how that all lays out. We also have a number of aspects. Mercury, of course, hits the world axis this week. Which means we get some big news, big news when he goes on it, and that's going to take place when he enters Cancer, and we kind of see him kicking up his story and kicking up into okay, what are we going to do now? So there's a big change with him, too, as he shifts signs and moves into a whole new way. And he does that at the end of the week, on the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot going on with him in terms of what we're gonna look for, too. So if you were going to talk to somebody, I mean, I've been talking a lot about the Saturn going to go retrograde. He's retrograde now, but he's going to go direct in a couple weeks,
mm-hmm.
where a lot of us are figuring out what our new journey is and what our new work is. What have you been talking to your clients about with Saturn and Scorpio?
Well, I think that the Saturn in Scorpio was sort of the way out of this grand cross, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's where we had to dig in deep and focus and commit. And I told people that where the Saturn was in their chart was where they really had to take that focus and spend the energy deciding what they wanted and really and not shy away from something deep in their life,
mm-hmm.
and not shy away from going to the next level,
mm-hmm.
in their life. And you know, a lot of people are, I've seen a lot of people actually with having their Saturn return,
mm-hmm.
during this time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that experience, the people born in like mid-1980s, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, seeing them sort of make that entry into adulthood and take that next step. And I think when they have Saturn Scorpio, yeah, there's this intense movement,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know for me, I had my second Saturn return, and I'm like, oy, I'm an old person now. But it also, it gives a level of mastery with it, too.
Yeah.
And Saturn really always asks us to make sure we're doing our work.
Right.
And when he's in the sign of Scorpio, it's the work of commitment. What are you committing to? So wherever your natal Saturn is, in your chart, whatever sign, even if it's not in Scorpio, when he goes through the sign of Scorpio, he goes, what are you willing to commit for? What are you willing to die for? What are you willing to partner with till the ends of the earth, till you're completely transformed? Because he's going to take us through an alchemical mix where we get killed and are reborn, because Scorpio is all about death and regeneration.
Right.
And it's when the killing frost happens in the growing season. So it's a very passionate time for many people. And I think your comment about clients moving away, I can't live here, can't afford it, isn't my lifestyle, what is the vision of your life that you
right.
want?
Right.
And so much of last summer was about the vision with the grand trine in water, and so much of this year has been about, okay, implement that vision, and more importantly, what are your blocks to implementing it?
Right, right.
And we get stuck a lot, you know?
And Saturn is in mutual reception with Pluto.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been very important, too.
Yeah, so talk about that a little bit.
You know, I always tell people it's like they're switching apartments. They're doing an apartment exchange, you know, where Saturn's in Scorpio for Pluto's sign, and Pluto is in Capricorn. And so that relationship, that ties Saturn right into that cardinal grand cross.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that's important because, it's getting deep with something and a level of mastery, because
mm-hmm.
Saturn Scorpio is the mastery. Pluto in Capricorn is totally about mastery. And we all have to find what we're really good at and stop giving in to the pressures around us. It's like, well, you know, I have to take this position because it's all I've got, as opposed to getting a little creative with your life and thinking bigger, and that's
mm-hmm.
and really thinking about your own mastery and pushing yourself and challenging yourself a little bit.
Right.
You know.
Right. Yeah, Pluto in Capricorn always challenges us, and it challenges us to own our authority.
Yeah.
Where are we our own authority? And if we're not, why not? Because whenever Pluto comes along in a transit, he always asks us to step up our game. It's like going into the big leagues. You know, you're playing tennis with, you know, I don't know who the current people are, but in my day and age, it was Andrew Agassi or John McEnroe. You know, you go play tennis with them, you're going to know how to play, you know.
Right.
But it's also, for each of us, where our mastery stands.
Right.
And what is really calling us. So I think it's an important week. And, of course, Mercury is still retrograde. Still not retrograde. He went direct, but he's still in his shadow. And so as he retraces his Gemini steps, he is ruling Venus in Gemini, okay? And Venus is in Gemini ruling Mars in Libra. And Mars in Libra is ruling Saturn in Scorpio. And Saturn in Scorpio rules Pluto in Capricorn. So everybody's talking to you about choices.
Mm-hmm.
Gemini's choices, choices, choices. And it's choice week. Now you got two more weeks till the 20th and the 21st of July, when Saturn is going to go direct and Uranus is going to go retrograde within a day of each other. And Deb asked me a question earlier, which we're going to cover in a second. And that 20th of July is going to be all systems go. So you might be reorging, you might be throwing away, you might be thinking you're moving to L.A., you might be doing whatever, but once those babies go direct, you are moving because it's full steam ahead into Sag. There is no other stops. These Saturn's going straight from Scorpio all the way into early Sag in January, December and January. So as far as he's concerned, you have to have figured out your Saturn and Scorpio story because he's looking at you to go to the next level. And your job is to say, okay, Saturn, I'm ready. So you got two more weeks. And then, what happens then when the Uranus-Saturn, talk about that Uranus-Saturn thing we talked a minute ago about.
Oh, yeah. Well, Saturn and Uranus were together in opposition back in 2008, 2009. And I think the first exact opposition was during the election of 2008 when Obama was elected.
Mm-hmm.
And so Anne was saying that he's getting beat up right now, and he's going through a lot of angst.
Deb and I talk politics.
A little bit.
We do a lot of talking, but we have one of our fun things is politics. Yeah.
it's sort of coming back to revisit that, you know, now that we're in his second term.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we're approaching the fall elections.
Right.
And I think we can't go any further without talking a little bit about that ruling from the Supreme Court, right as Mercury went direct last week. And now, interestingly, the ruling happened, and I encourage all of you, you know, read other astrologers, mosey around, go check out Eric Francis's article on Planet Waves about the Hobby decision. But the decision that happened while Mercury was still retrograde in Gemini with old Ruth Bader Ginsburg, good Gemini girl there, woman, writing the dissent that went viral on the Internet, the first Supreme Court dissent that went viral, But banning birth control for religious reasons. And, of course, happening in a Mercury retrograde means it's going to be reversed, but it's also the five white guys that are Catholics voted for it. Not that I don't like the Catholic white guys, but, you know, guys, really, get your fingers out of our vaginas, you know. So we have that ruling, of course, while Mercury's retrograde and Venus is in Gemini, that it's not okay to have sex for fun. You got to have sex to make the babies, Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And, at any rate. So what do you... Yeah.
Venus in Gemini is so about multiple partners.
I know. She is not, like, looking to settle down. Mars is in Gemini. Mercury is in Gemini. Mars is in Libra. It's the love you're one you're with. It's not about, like, okay, I'm going to marry you and have your babies. It's like, I'm going to have a lot of fun because there's birth control and I can.
Yes.
Yeah, and women's sexuality being forefront in this next, I think, will be forefront in this next election, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of women I know, all ages, grumbling about that decision. So,
right.
Record numbers, ladies, record numbers. Turn out, get your friends to vote. And if you haven't, this is why it's important, because when Ruth, who has pancreatic cancer, steps down from that Supreme Court, we need to make sure somebody gets appointed that isn't going to say, yeah, all birth control out the window, instead of just the ones that look like they prevent an egg from implanting that's been fertilized.
Right.
Now, a fertilized egg is not a baby. I'm sorry. You know, go back to biology, people.
Right.
And whatever.
Right.
Yeah. So, at any rate.
But that Venus in Gemini, really, and the whole Mercury retrograde, that's all going to get reversed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sooner, hopefully, rather than
later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe on the next Mercury.
Well, it was interesting because they, you know, of course, the Internet digs up things, too. There was an article that Antonio Scalia had said women aren't equal under the Constitution. And, you know, technically when it was written, we weren't. We were chattel.
Mm-hmm.
We've only had the vote since 1920.
Right.
So I think it's time for us to go, hey, we're more than half the population and we count and, you know, stomp, stomp, yell, yell. Michael Luton, who's an excellent astrologer in New York, has been saying that the 2000s is a feminine number and that's when women rise up. So I'm kind of like, okay, what is that going to look like? It looks like we're going backwards now.
Yeah,
but,
I know.
You know, we'll be shifting that up, hopefully, sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now for a little of the techie part of the program. Okay, so this week the moon is in Scorpio today, and it goes closing trine to Jupiter on the 8th, and that's positive. Positive energy gives us a lot of opportunity to get things done. Moon trine Jupiter is productive and supportive and happy and connected. So that's helpful. We like that. And that trine is really a nice little moon and Scorpio trine Jupiter in Cancer is a healthy little thing. The moon is void for a little bit on the 8th, the evening of the 8th, from 6:30 to 9:25. And then the 9th, it's into Sag, and the closing aspect on that is an opposition to Mercury. So expect arguments on Wednesday and Thursday because you're separating. You're arguing, you're separating, you're not happy. And then we have the, it goes from 8:19 to 11:25 on the 10th, it's void, and it goes into Capricorn. So it's in Capricorn late on the Thursday night, all day Friday. And then there's a full moon on Saturday, and the moon goes void with an opposition to Jupiter, which is, again, an overdoing, but it is an opposition. So oppositions are always good for separating. This takes us back to the new moon of January 12th of 2012. So think about what you were doing then on that new moon, or on January 12th, 2013. There was a new moon then that is culminating now, what you started then. And then the moon, it goes into Aquarius on the evening of Saturday night, 11:07, and it's in Aquarius on the 13th. And it goes void with a lovely trine to Venus. So Sunday the 13th, really productive. That's also when Mercury goes into Cancer on the world axis. So expect important news under this full moon. Mm. Information being delivered. The symbols for it are a relay race, which is always kind of a fun image to carry. And then the other image, of course, I closed my solar fire. So it's got an image of a relay race, which if you think about it, you know, you kind of do the work and then you go forward and then you do the work and you go forward and you do the work and you go forward and then pass the baton and other people do the work and then they go forward. And that whole process of how do we get there? You know, what's the symbol? So that's the symbol for the Capricorn moon. And then the symbol for the Cancer sun is a prima donna singing. So think about what you want to sing. What makes you happy? What makes your heart grow? What makes you really want to express yourself with joy and light? And if you've ever seen a really good prima donna singing, when they belt those notes out, whether it's a Whitney Houston or a Beverly Sills or a Barbara Cook or an Ethel Merman, you know, you can see somebody belting. And, of course, that also says to me women singing, you know. So we'll see what that image, how that shows up this week. And, of course, the relay race. We've just finished the soccer stuff. I'm hopelessly out of touch. I have no idea who won, but I know they were yelling on the streets when I was having 4th of July brunch.
We're going into the semifinals this week.
Semifinals. So it's the relay race. And this is when everybody gets eliminated and they don't get to play anymore, right?
Right. Well, they're in the semifinals, so now we're down to 4 teams.
Okay.
And then they will play off this week, and then at the end of the week, they'll do who comes in third place and then who wins the whole tournament.
Okay. Very cool. I like it. It's the playoffs.
It's the playoffs. And Wimbledon.
Wimbledon mm-hmm. finished. I saw that. And also, I mean, I have to say, there was a TV on the street at the restaurant I was in, and people kept stopping and staring at the TV. And mm-hmm. I'm always like, there's like staring behind my shoulder, and I'm like, oh, they're watching the soccer match, you know.
Yeah.
It was good. It was kind of like, oh, I guess there's a whole other world going on out there. Okay, so the sun this week goes from 15 Cancer to 18:20 Cancer with a trine to Saturn and the square to Uranus, setting off that lovely cardinal cross again from the eclipses in April. Remember, when the planets hit the points, we just wake them up. So sun is now going 15. He's finished it, but he's picking up the energy. Those planets are loaded with stuff, and they want to express themselves. Mercury, of course, is leaving his shadow with the last degrees of Gemini and then into the world axis in Cancer. So think back to the news you got when Mercury stationed and that couple of days that were pretty poignant. Venus is very busy. She's arguing this week a little bit at the beginning of the week, and she's happy at the end. Pay attention to who you meet on July 13th. Because she talks with the nodes of destiny, she has a trine. It's a great day to go to a party if you're looking for love. That's a good one. And Venus trines Mars on the 13th, which is also a lovely date for romance and all that kind of cool stuff. She does have a little head cold on the 11th. I have a little head cold myself. I appreciate that. And she has a square to Chiron on the 8th, kind of an expansion of her energy. Mars is contraparallel. The nodes on the 11th. So there can be a little bit of an argument or a fight on the 11th, and just kind of watch for that. And he also has an aspect to Neptune on the 10th that can make you see something you hadn't seen before, and you might be a little disillusioned with it. Now, Mars is starting to pick up steam. He's been kind of quiet the last few weeks. This week he's busy, and remember, he is in Libra, so he's in, you know, he's going to be able to talk to Venus and see what she wants, and she's a little indecisive and flirty and fun. So this is also, you get presented with a lot of choices. So I always say, when you're getting a lot of choices, say yes to everything. Don't worry about if you can do it. As long as you know you're interested, give yourself permission. We have an argument with Mars opposite Eris, his sister. They're fighting on the 12th. So if you've got any sibling rivalry issues or any rivalry issues with anybody, they're going to come to a head on the 12th, and you can expect a good old-fashioned blowout.
Mm.
Envy, jealousy, always fun. And then we kick into a nurturing energy right after that. Remember, the reason you're rivalrous is probably because your mother liked your sister better than you, or vice versa, or your brother, or whatever. And own that envy. You know, I'm reading a book on envy. It's an interesting book, and it talks about how it's the least owned emotion. Everybody goes, oh, envy, not good. It serves a purpose. It exists on Earth. Sun comes to Mars on the 13th. Again, we're seeing the 13th as a really loaded day, and that's lovely with that Aquarius moon, too. So the Sun joins the nodes of Mars joins the nodes of destiny on the 13th, giving us an expansion energy and a new excitement. Jupiter is kind of quiet this week, but he does have a sextile to Admetos, indicating an ending or a change in partnership on the 10th. Saturn sees a new pattern on the 8th in a way he hadn't seen it before because he's sextile Pallas Athena. And Uranus is in conjunct Pallas Athena. What that means is we're having a finger of God in the sky. We actually have a couple. We'll talk about those. The full moon has a bunch of fingers of gods, and it's kind of a nasty little moon, even if it's, you know, supposedly nice because we're in the middle of July. But it's got a bunch of hard aspects in it. And we will talk a little bit about that. And then Neptune aspects the nodes of destiny, too. You're hearing all these nodes of destiny, people. Mm. That means this is a destiny week where we pick and choose. Vesta aspects the nodes of destiny. Pallas Athena aspects the south node of destiny. So we're really pushing this week for us to have a different vision of how the world works and what's important to us. And our job is to go, okay, I'm really working with this energy, and how do I work with it productively so that I'm in a happy place? And the end of the week with the finger of God formed, and there's a few other things too, which we'll talk about in a second, as we look at those, we kind of get an idea of the expansion energy that the universe wants us to go forward with, and also the whole process of choice. So I think, Deb, just give them your philosophy on how astrology encourages us to make healthy choices, because I think you've got a very good philosophy on that.
On healthy choices?
Healthy choices, yeah.
You know, it's you can use the lower energy, you can use the higher energy. And, you know, when I like to tell people, you know, when they come to me and we have to discuss what's going on with them, I like to tell them that they have a choice here, and, you know, there's always that fate or free will question. But astrology, we know what's going to happen if we take a bad path. And so I try to encourage people to take, like, the higher road on all of this. And astrology really lays that out for you. And, you know, taking your difficult transits and turning them into something productive is really what's important, instead of just taking the line of least resistance, you know.
Yeah, and a lot of times, you know, when we're not actually working with the energy, we can really dive into the line of least resistance.
Yes.
As opposed to riding the energy and moving it high. It's really the difference, you know, when you go in the ocean and you let the waves hit you.
Right.
As opposed to when you try and surf on them.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you can break your neck surfing on them, but you can also break your neck just having the thing hit you.
Right.
But you might as well try and surf, because you get more fun, you get a little ride, you get a little sand in your bathing suit.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a lot of options, and it makes you happy.
And you know, the one thing I keep telling people when they get a Pluto transit, it's really important for them to own their power.
Yeah.
And to not allow Pluto to bat them around or people in their life to take their power away from them. And, you know, I usually have to explain to them what that means and what it looks like.
What does own your power look like? I had one woman who's got Pluto in the first look at me and goes, I hate it when people tell me I should own my power. I don't know what that looks like. And I'm always like, means you're supposed to be powerful, you know, right? Or what else? How else do you tell people to own their power?
Well, you know, not to give it away to other people. Like, you know, if someone is giving you a choice in something, you're not, like, being polite and giving them what they want all the time. You have to take a piece for yourself,
mm-hmm.
and that's important. And, you know, not... And rising to the occasion, and again, it's to do with mastery,
mm-hmm.
because you have to rise to your own mastery as opposed to, oh, well, everybody else is better than I am, you know,
mm-hmm.
at that.
Mm-hmm.
And it is about self-esteem a bit, too.
Yeah. And a lot of times when we're having a Pluto transit, it actually goes after something you're kind of proud of. And
right.
he goes, I'm kind of proud of that. And he goes, I think we need to rethink that. I think we need to reassess how you're proud of that. Are you really proud of that?
Right.
And how valuable is it to you? So it asks you to dig in and to step up your game and to step up and take a chance.
Right.
You know? So what we're going to do next is we're going to talk a little bit about this full moon, because it is a very powerful full moon, and also because the moon's in Capricorn, a lot of times people feel a little depressed. And
mm-hmm.
the moon is next to Pluto in the full moon, or near Pluto. It makes an aspect with Pluto right before it gets there. And because the chart's kind of scattered all over the sky, there are a number of planetary pictures in it. So the full moon this weekend is coming on Saturday. And this kind of, you're going to feel it building, and then you're going to feel it kind of pulling away. But remember, all these planets are touching the nodes of destiny in one way or another this week. So we have a lot of choices ahead of us this week. And it's not necessarily going to be we're going to implement them. That's in 2 weeks from now when Saturn goes direct and Uranus changes
mm-hmm.
directions too on the 20th and 21st. But this is our idea week. This is our decision week. This is our vision of how we're going to proceed. So if we look at the planets, one of the things we see is that there's a big grand trine in water between the Sun and Saturn and Chiron.
Right.
So we're going to be asked with Sun, Saturn, Chiron to talk a little bit about our wound and our work and our vision for our life, our ego identification. So, Deb, when you see that grand trine in water, what are you going to say to your, what are you going to say to our listeners? Say to your clients, say to our listeners, right? Yeah.
You know, the water trine is really a great time for healing the wound.
Mm-hmm.
It's really,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, that Chiron in Pisces, it's, you know, you're really feeling your wound in a profound way. It's so deep and it's so present. And Saturn gives you the opportunity to really work with it
mm-hmm.
and dig deep again, because it's a Scorpio, and have compassion for yourself
mm-hmm.
because of the water trine, you know.
Being very kind. This
yes.
is the week to be kind to people, because remember, they're going to be having all this stuff in their charts too, somewhere in their charts. So it is going to be a little stressful. A lot of communication this week, a lot of maybe not always kind communication, because Mars and Eris are having a little bit of a spat. Well, you know, I did that for you. And you go, yeah, you counting? I am counting. We also have four yods. And you know I love my yods. I love my fingers of God. And these are pretty potent ones. They're involving Uranus, Saturn, and Venus, and Pallas Athena, and Pluto. So they're asking us to see things in a new way, to see our relationships in a new way, to see what we've committed to in a new way, to encourage us to change those commitments if we need to, or to restructure them. We're being offered the opportunity to restructure our commitments and to come up with a different way of doing it. And we totally can, but it's allowing that energy to happen. And then we have a hammer of Thor. Now, I love those hammers of Thor, because those are, if you don't get it right, we're going to land on your head. And so the hammer of Thor asks us to kind of pipe up. Deb, there's a grand cross in the chart, too. What do you say about that, baby?
Well, you know, it's that moon going into Capricorn,
mm-hmm.
and I would say you're going to really feel this a few days before the full moon, and
yep.
and Friday afternoon, it's another revisit of the Grand Cross from April.
Yes.
So remember what happened back in April,
mm-hmm.
and sort of reconnect with that, and it's another level of the evolutionary journey we're on.
Right, and then there's a mystic rectangle, and the mystic rectangles often ask you to take the higher road, the spiritual path. Think about your spiritual path, think about their spiritual path. No need to get into pissing match. Just kind of go to the higher vision. And also meditate and pray. A lot of times mm-hmm. when you take that silent time with yourself on a week like this, you're going to find that it's helpful. We have double yod keys, which basically mean the finger of God, three of them, the fingers of God are kind of hanging out together, and they're talking to each other. And then we also have a diamond. And a diamond is wonderful because it helps us see the point of things, and it also encourages. And then we have a stretched pentagram, 5 points. 5 points is the star of Venus. So it invites us to work on a deeper level with our Venus natures and encourage us to change. Of course, none of the planets are Venusian. They're all Saturn, Pluto, Uranus. So work with that stretching energy. Encourage yourself to stretch. And on that note, the British lady spoke. So I'm Ann Ortley signing off. And
Deb McBride. And thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for coming and bringing the chicken. Have a great week, folks. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.